The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, we all long for more of something in our lives.
If you look like this, you'll be happy. If you get this corner office, you'll be happy. You live in this kind of home, you'll be happy. Get 2.3 kids, you'll be happy. And so we chase after all these things, thinking it's going to bring us some kind of happiness, but it never does.
Stay tuned as pastor and best-selling author Pete Wilson challenges us to avoid empty promises. Next on Life Today.
Joining us. I'm Betty, and this is James.
Yeah, and we have got a guest by the name of Pete Wilson, and he's in Nashville at Cross Point. Is that right?
That is
correct. Cross Point Church in Nashville, and it's not even 10 years old, 5,000 people or more attending, and the pastor is quite young. You know, he's in his 30s. To me, it's like a kid, you know, when you get up my age. I'm the oldest person I know now, and the thing is that he's written a book called Empty Promises, The Truth About You, Your Desires, and the Lies You Are Believing. And the issue is that he, as a pastor, a minister, a Christian, you know, some pastors and ministers are Christians, thank God, as all of that, he was trapped by what he says were empty promises. Actually, he had believed some lies, and he believes that many believers have believed lies. I want you to welcome Pete Wilson to Life Today. Pete, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Average age of your church, what would probably be? What do you say the average age is?
I would say average age is probably late 20s.
Late 20s.
Yeah, it's a very
young
church.
They all dress like this, kind of cool.
They do. They actually dress much cooler than I do. Much cooler.
All right, I really want you to cut to the chase, because this book, I think, is spiritual dynamite in so many ways, because I think people are trapped. And you really have got basically 12 chapters, and you talk about lies that people believe in really the bulk of the chapters before you get on with how you move on to the truth. Mm. Could you just tell us what happened with you to inspire you to first teach the content of this book, and then Thomas Nelson hearing about it right there in Nashville.
Yeah.
They didn't have to go far to hear about it,
right?
But they wanted it, and they wanted to publish it.
You know, I think for me, it was years ago. I was in India, actually, and we were at one of the temples, and there were all kinds of different temple worship that was going on, different idols people were worshiping. And I remember just sitting back watching that and thinking how silly it was to me that they would actually believe that somehow their life was going to be better, you know, that they would get pregnant or they would be blessed by worshiping all these different idols. And we got back on the van, we were going back to where we were staying. And I felt like God really prompted me and said, Pete, you know what is equally as silly? You thinking that if you got a few more people going to your church next year, that you would be happy. Or if you made a little more money next year than this year, that somehow you would finally have peace. And I started to realize that I had all kinds of idols in my own life. There were all these things that I was looking to give me something that only God could give me. And I had begun to trust in all kinds of different things that I just never thought of them as idols. If someone had said, you worship anything other than Jesus, I'd have been like, no, absolutely not. He's the most important thing in the world to me. Yet what had happened in my life is I started looking to all these things that give me something that only He could give me. And it really wrecked me on that trip.
Name some of them that hit you right up front that you realize, okay, this is, in fact, what I heard in the Spirit. I believe from God. Yeah. This is one of them.
Biggest one for me was acceptance. I realized I looked to the approval of other people to really define my self-worth. And as you know, when you're in ministry, you take a full-time calling to serve God, and you combine that with this desire to gather your self-worth externally from the approval of other people, and it's a very dangerous combination. And I realized, I can think back to even when I was a kid playing baseball, how when I did something good on the baseball field, how my dad would treat me a little bit different. And just getting a little bit of that approval from him and a little bit of approval from the crowd. And from a very early age, I learned that if I could get people to like me, if I could get people to approve of me, that's where I found my self-worth and my identity. And that just continued on into adulthood and became a very, really a dangerous addiction, a form of idolatry in my life and in my ministry that I really needed to find freedom from because it was wrecking me. I was miserable because I couldn't, there was always somebody that wasn't happy with something and they got all my attention and over time it just wore me out. It really did.
How'd you get freedom from that?
You know, I think for me it was realizing that I was never going to be able to find my true self-worth from approval. I was never going to be able to find my self-worth from achievements. It was only going to come from Jesus Christ himself. And I realized, I remember one day I was thinking about all this, and I felt like, you know what, the greatest temptation I've faced in my life is not from things that are ridiculously evil. The greatest temptation in my life comes from things that are deceptively good. And most of my life, I've been focused on the ridiculously evil. Stay away from all these things that are, you know, obviously evil. But what had happened is these deceptively good things, like ministry, I had taken these good things and allowed these good things to become ultimate things that then became idol things that then became destructive things in my life. And you know what? God gave me a desire for approval. God gave me a desire for achievement, to do something great with my life, to want to make a difference. But I allowed those good things, those God things, to become ultimate things that became idle things, that became destructive things.
Well, you know, you're writing about a lot of things I experienced. And you told me before we came out of here, 38. I'm going to say in my 34, 35 years, as I approached 36, and I had been very active from 18 to that period of time and nonstop and very blessed in ministry. I really reached a place of what I call spiritual burnout, where I was operating in the gifts of God, seeing the blessings of God, but I moved away from an intimate fellowship, love relationship with Him. I left first love.
Right.
I was caught up in all these other loves, and ministry became an idol. Mm. Success, what people said about me, the fact that we were having such big crowds and so forth, and that we were so much in demand. All these things fed something inside of me that did not satisfy. And I actually realized, basically what you're saying, that I had put those ahead of the fellowship and relationship with God. Right. Now, I felt like I was going to crash and burn. Now, I got to ask you, did you reach a point, and you're saying you heard something in India, but did you reach a point where you felt like all the wheels are coming off and you felt like you're just going to collapse and explode, burn out?
Yeah, there's a very specific night. I can remember exactly where I was. I was in my truck. It was a Saturday night. I'm coming home. I just performed a wedding, and I'm thinking about the next morning services that I've got to do, and I'm stressed out about that. I'm sitting, it's on Hillsborough Road in Nashville, Tennessee, in front of Green Hills Mall. And I'm sitting there at that red light, and I'm just overcome with emotion. I'm so burned out. I'm so tired. I remember praying out loud, saying, God, let me do anything other than what I'm doing. I'll sell cars. I'll do anything. I'm so tired of ministry. I can't keep all these different people happy anymore. I'm exhausted. I'm so burned out. And I'm sitting at this red light. I'm crying so hard that I have to take my sunglasses off. And when I take my sunglasses off, inside my sunglasses was an actual scripture, believe it or not. On the side of the glasses, I didn't know this when I bought the sunglasses, but they're made by this guy who started a Christian sunglass company. And on the inside of every pair of glasses, he puts, it's a little PS18:2. So I'm taking my sunglasses off, because I'm crying so hard. And I'm looking at these glasses, I'm like, wow, I got Christian glasses on. I didn't even realize it. You know, I was like, God's talking to me through my sunglasses. And so I had this exact Bible sitting right next to me. And so I was like, you know, God's talking to me through my sunglasses. I better read it. And so I'm just distraught. And I open up the scripture right there in my truck. This is what I read, Psalms 18:2. It said, the Lord is my rock, my protection, my Savior. My God is my rock. I can run to Him for safety. He is my shield and my saving strength, my defender.
Wow.
And I felt like God was saying, hey, Pete, just stop it. Stop chasing after success. Stop chasing after the approval of other people. I'm enough. I felt like he was saying to me, hey, listen, you don't want something from me. What you want is me, right? I think a lot of us think we want something from God. We don't want something from God. What we want is God. That's what our heart, that's what our soul is created for. And I think that's what I was longing for. And I was looking forward in success. I was looking forward in achievement. A lot of other people look forward in beauty. They look forward in money. But I think there's moments like this where God's really speaking to us, where he's saying, hey, I'm enough. I'm your rock. I'm your defender. Just run to me.
Anybody or anything can be an idol if we put them before God.
Absolutely.
I mean, like the girl might say, man, if I just had this guy, that's the perfect guy. Or the man says, if I just had this job, boy, I'd be successful and I'd do this for God and all this and everything. But all God wants is us.
Yep.
And that's all we need is him.
And the sooner we realize that, the better off we're going to be. But again, we live in a culture that's told us, we've all grown up, you know, seeing the commercials, reading in the magazines, telling us, hey, if you get this, then you'll be happy. If you look like this, you'll be happy. If you get this corner office, you'll be happy. You live in this kind of home, you'll be happy. Get 2.3 kids, you'll be happy. And so we chase after all these things, thinking it's going to bring us some kind of happiness, but it never does. Never does.
Well, I think people in our churches really, or at least the churches are filled with people. They're filled with empty people a lot of times. And it breaks my heart because I've been there. And there is no substitute for a relationship with the Lord, but we get trapped. Now, I need to know how you sharing this affected the people who sit out and listen to you preach. Did they feel like they just had a failing pastor that failed miserably? Or did they find some source, let's say, of identification with the journey you were on and the pain you were experiencing and you were willing to admit it? What happened to the people who were listening to you?
I think it was, first of all, I was scared to death to admit these things because, again, when you're an approval addict, you know, telling people that you're not perfect and taking yourself off that pedestal is not always the easiest thing to do. But I think that there was a real connection with people where people appreciated, you know, I say sometimes authenticity is the cry of all, but it's the game of few. Now, we're all longing for authenticity. We want authenticity, but we're all nervous, you know, to let go of who we think we should be in order to embrace who God really created us to be. And that's part of my goal in ministry, is helping people find the freedom to really embrace who God created them to be. So I have to lead the way in that. And I had to be honest about the things that I struggle with and the things I've looked to try to give me self-worth. And the basic response from most people was, me too. I struggle with that. I you know, and it may not be acceptance for them. Maybe it was money. Maybe it had to do with beauty. Maybe it had to do with some kind of dream that they thought that they needed to achieve to finally be somebody. But most people I've found really struggle with empty promises. We all have fallen into this trap. Gosh, today I was talking on the phone with a professional athlete. He has everything you could imagine. Everyone knows his name. He makes more money than most of us put together. But he's empty. And as we talked on the phone, it's just this emptiness inside of him because he's achieved everything that everyone has told him to achieve. And yet he still doesn't know who he is because he doesn't know who he is in Christ. One of the saddest things I've ever seen, we go into this little like mud hut, and this family is, they have something cooking over the fire. And I remember asking the interpreter, what is that? What do they have? And she said, those are dirt cookies. They literally take dirt and mix it with some kind of oil. It's all they have. And she said it has zero nutritional value, but it's enough to kind of make their hunger pains go away for a short amount of time. And I'm watching this family interact with each other. And this family was a Christian family, lived in the middle of a slum full of thousands of people who were mostly Hindus, the only Christian family in this entire slum. And they had this sparkle in their eye. They had this peace that as I watched them, it just struck me, how is it that a family eating dirt for dinner has this kind of level of peace? And what I felt the Lord was saying to me is, there is zero correlation in life between money and true peace. Zero. You know, I went home from that trip to a church full of people that make more money than most of them know what to do with, and yet they don't have a lot of peace. Mm. They don't have peace in their marriage. They don't have peace with their family. They don't have peace with their children. They don't have peace in their career. And it just struck me, again, there's no correlation between money and peace. There's no correlation between all these empty promises that the world has said, chase after, get these things, and what Jesus really wants to offer us. And it's just been so eye-opening for me, and I felt such a freedom in my own life to discover finally what it is I'm really looking for.
You know, I think that as you listen to what Pete's sharing, I think it's really important, and you heard me just touch on my own journey back during the time when I was your age. And by the way, the journey that we're on doesn't just come to a screeching halt until we leave this planet for the life beyond this life. And for those of us who know eternal life, we already have eternal life. So we have that. But what about right now? What's going on? Many of us as Christians believe a lie, and we experience defeat, and it can be recurring. It can be habitual. It can be a terrible bondage. It can become like a stronghold. And the reason these things happen is that we have erroneously substituted something for that relationship. You can go to church and substitute. A lot of people show up, but their light never shines forth because they have literally replaced him with something else that has captured their heart. I said earlier, even ministry and the blessings of God and the things that I never had when I was a child being out there for me to give attention to be distracted by, to be enamored with, or even captivated by. And once we're captured by something else, once we're captivated by something else, the Bible says an idol leads us to a place, Pete, I think it's important people understand this, that we are sharers with tormentors.
Yep.
Paul said with demons.
Yep.
Once you are in any kind of idolatry, I don't care if you worship your denomination, you worship your success, you worship what people think of you, you worship your hobbies, you put something between you and God, torment sets in. I don't care how often you show up at church. You can look at people in church. There are not many of them have the peace of God prevailing in their countenance. Isaiah said, your countenance testifies against you. He said that calling the nation to repentance is going to look at you. And your countenance testifies something's wrong. Well, this is what happens to so many people. So here's what Pete wants you to hear. And this is why the book would be a blessing to you. And we'd be happy to send you. It's in the bookstores. Father, I pray for every person watching today who has allowed anything, however good it may seem to be, to come between you and them, to recognize it for what it is. Unfulfilling, empty, it's a lie. Yes, an idol. And I pray they'll throw it down, lay it down, and reach up to you as you reach out to them in Jesus' name. God is reaching out to you right where you are. You want someone to pray with you. See that number on the screen? It's Prayed For My Love. Somebody loves you. Somebody will pray with you if you want them to. And you know, Pete, one of the things that we do that's as exciting as anything we'll ever do in our lives. As a matter of fact, God has put this on my heart, and I'll tell all of you this, that before Jesus comes or before I go to be with Him, I want to help get clean, non-contaminated drinking water to every person on this planet that doesn't have it. And we've got to do it one well at a time, one place at a time. But that's in my heart. We want to share water for life so we can then tell them about the water of life. We want to show them love. And then they'll want to know love because they've seen it. I want you to watch this because we're going to join together and we're going to be an answer to people's heart cry and need. Watch closely. I think you'll want to meet this need. And there really is, and it's so simple, it's as simple as not just a cup of water. Because there's no way, Betty, that Jesus would say, if you will give just a cup of dirty, contaminated, disease-ridden water in my name. There's no way. He was saying what we have here in our blessed nation and in the advanced countries, non-contaminated water. And it's a big concern to us. Those precious children and those parents and grandparents and people you looked at were thinking about children that had died drinking water, disease-ridden water. We can change that this year with God's help. And Betty, this is a big, I'd say it's a step of faith, but it's listening not only to the missionaries, but I believe to God. The missionaries have shown us 500 areas where there is water that we can get if we just drill in 12 nations, and it will change everything. We want to give them water for life. Yes, we'll tell them about the water of life. But I'm going to tell you something. Until you demonstrate the power of love and God's love, people aren't nearly as prone or anxious to listen to it. We need to show them the love of God. Betty, I believe every viewer watching can help us drill a well. Do something to help us drill these 500 wells.
Me too, James. And as a mother, when I watch the mothers weeping because either their child is dying or they have just died, James, that breaks my heart. And a simple solution is that we drill these water wells so that they don't have to watch their babies die because of the contaminated water.
Well, I've been praying that every viewer of Life Today all over the world, and I want to say to all of you in Canadian provinces, all of you in the United Kingdom, all of you in Australia, all of you in the United States, I've been praying that God would put it on the heart of every person who can to find a way to drill a well during the course of this year. $4,800. That may be for some of you, say, well, that's quite a stretch. Listen, God can do it. We see children get it on their heart and they do it. They find ways to raise the money. But here's what I know, and Betty, this is the key. Everybody does what they can, and this is important. $48 toward a $4,800 well will give 10 people water, basically the rest of their lives. $144 will give 30 people water the rest of their life. There is a level at which you can participate. If you can give $4,800, I believe you'll do it. I believe their children are thinking right now, how can I do it? They're going to find ways to do it. Their couples, their companies, their churches, their prayer groups, and their individuals will say, I'm going to do it. But at whatever level you can participate, it's important to those 10, if you give 48. If you can give a portion of a well, 2,400, and pray, God, let somebody join me, another 2,400 without a well. Give the 1,200. Whatever you can do, we're asking you to make that gift. We have some gifts to bless you, to encourage you and to inspire you. But you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving the gift of life. Call the number. Use your bank card like a check. Or if you write a check, call us and tell us what you're sending in the mail. Would you? Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift right now. Please do it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, a beautiful new daily devotional to begin and end your day in God's presence. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Morning and Evening, I Will Praise You, a 2-CD collection of 20 instrumental hymns and a companion book that shares the stories behind each hymn. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water, by artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Betty and I just want to say thank you for your gift. I do want to mention that the 50th anniversary Robert Summers bronze, Living Water, this is a special edition. We're celebrating our 50 years of marriage. Isn't that a miracle? Miracles still happen. This girl stayed with me all this time. She's a miracle. And also 50 years of ministry. But we're sending that for those of you who will give a gift of $1,200 or more or a well. Beth Moore's book and the hymns and the beautiful CD with instrumentals. If you'd like to have Pete Wilson's book today, you say, I'm interested in what he shared. I'd like to have what he wrote. Well, we'll gladly say thanks if you make a gift to help us with the wells. Would you join Betty and me in saying thank you to Pete for being a real blessing? We really appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless the church.
Thank you.
Thank all of you very, very much for watching and giving us a chance not only to share our heart, but we believe the heart of God, and hopefully bless you.
Tomorrow, illusionist Jim Monroe's incredible journey after he was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia.
But God was getting ready to show me something that I couldn't explain, right?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.